KIXI, dial 91 AM or 96 FM, Seattle.
CBS News. The House Judiciary Committee will hear its last witness Wednesday, closing the books in the fact-finding portion of its historic investigation into the possible impeachment of Richard Nixon. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. When the committee concludes questioning former presidential lawyer Herbert Kalmbach, now serving a prison term for attempting to sell an ambassadorship, it will have questioned 9 witnesses during 10 days of hearings. The staff will present proposed articles of impeachment Thursday and Friday. Chairman Rodino says he hopes the committee will complete the debate by the end of the week. The latest evidence released by the Judiciary Committee outlined how the Nixon administration sought to use the Internal Revenue Service to punish its political enemies. Bruce Morton reports.
Former Internal Revenue Service Commissioner Johnny Walters, in a sworn affidavit, says that on September 11, 1972, John Dean gave him a list of McGovern campaign workers and contributors and asked IRS to investigate them. 4 days later, according to the Judiciary Committee's transcript of a White House tape, H.R. Haldeman told the president about it. He's moving ruthlessly on the investigation of McGovern people. Dean's working the thing through IRS. So the president knew. Nobody ever did get audited. Commissioner Walters, supported by Treasury Secretary George Shultz, refused to act on Dean's request. In a separate incident in the summer of 1972, John Ehrlichman asked Walters whether Democratic National Chairman Lawrence O'Brien had paid all he should. Walters checked. IRS had examined O'Brien's returns. He had paid a small deficiency. The examinations were closed. John Dean did get tax information on presidential friends like the Reverend Billy Graham. Dean testified the president wanted the IRS turned off his friends. The question for the committee, does all this add up to a presidential effort to politicize, to misuse a non-political government agency? Bruce Morton, CBS News, Washington.
The Cyprus story after this.
Time magazine. What's in it for you this week? Cover story. The United States versus Richard M. Nixon, president et al.
The historic confrontation before the Supreme Court of the president's defense lawyer and the president's special prosecutor.
Plus capsule biographies of the justices who will decide if it's an executive privilege to withhold evidence.
Also, the case of the doctored transcripts.
And other evidence as the tide turns back toward impeachment.
Show business. The renaissance of sorcery. A few years ago, magic was nowhere.
Now it's back big.
Who's who among the prestidigitators?
Spectacular full-color photos.
And directions for sawing a woman in half.
These are just a few of the 56 news stories in the current issue of Time.
Reports that help you view the whole world's week.
For Time takes you to Canada to celebrate Trudeau's triumph.
To Melbourne, where Frank Sinatra plays the ugly American down under.
To New Jersey for the opening of Great Adventure, an amusement park with 2,000 animals.
To Spain.
Portugal.
Argentina.
To Wimbledon for that love match.
It's all in Time this week. Pick up a copy today.
For Time makes everything more interesting, including you.
Turkey has reported massing troops for possible military intervention to keep the Greek-led National Guard from tightening its grip on the island of Cyprus. The rebel forces are reportedly extending their control of the island as fighting continues. President Makarios is overnighting in Malta before trying to get international support for his return to Cyprus as president. He is expected to personally present his case before the United Nations. The Security Council adjourned Tuesday evening without taking any action. State Senator James Edwards, a Charleston dentist, defeated former Army Chief of Staff William Westmoreland Tuesday to win South Carolina's first Republican gubernatorial primary election. General Westmoreland said, "I guess this just proves I'm not a politician." Edwards defeated Westmoreland by about 60% of the vote. Senator Edward Gurney was arraigned in Jacksonville, Florida, Tuesday on charges of bribery, perjury, and conspiracy. Said the senator, "I am innocent and the court will prove it." Gurney and 6 others were indicted by a federal grand jury on allegations stemming from a $200,000 booster fund allegedly collected from Florida builders seeking favored treatment by the Federal Housing Administration. More after this.
Don't let anyone con you into thinking it's wrong to turn in a heroin pusher. You're not ratting. You're doing your part to wipe out one of the most insidious epidemics racking our country today. So don't let anyone kid you. If you really care about the quality of life, if you really care about improving society, you'll do everything you can to get the heroin pusher off the street and into jail where he belongs. If you have information about a drug pusher, use the heroin hotline. The number is 800-368-5363. That's toll free from anywhere in the country. The number again is 800-368-5363. A trained operator will answer your call, take your information, and pass it on to experienced federal agents who will investigate. You'll make your own special contribution toward helping us wipe out what President Nixon has called public enemy number one. Call 800-368-5363.
The political issue of full disclosure was given a new meaning Tuesday in California. A candidate for governor campaigned in the nude. Elizabeth Keithley, a Peace and Freedom Party candidate, shed her clothes and walked down a beach for almost an hour. She greeted sunbathers and handed out a mimeograph campaign sheet. Her campaign tactic drew a pack of reporters. Said one middle-aged man on the beach, "I'd like to know where she's speaking next, so I can hear what she has to say on other matters." I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, KIXI. Weather calling for showers tonight. Chance of showers and partial clearing tomorrow. Highs near 70, overnight lows in the mid-50s. Winds variable 5 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of rainfall 60% this evening, decreasing to 20% tomorrow. Downtown Seattle, the barometer falling slightly, 29.82. Winds from the southeast at 6 miles per hour. It's 59 degrees.
I'm E.G. Marshall, and I want very much to tell you the story of a young lady named Barbara. "Everyone is more or less mad on one point," said Rudyard Kipling, the famous English writer. And I'm inclined to agree with him, since I myself am more or less mad on the point of mystery. But our sweet heroine's madness took a strange turn, as we shall soon discover in the unfolding of the tale entitled "All Living Things Must Die."
Barbara, you're a nut, you know that?
Why am I?
Oh, maybe you're not. Maybe you're just trying to con me. Well, it didn't work, little lady. The answer is still no.
I hate you.
No dog, no baby. Just be happy with all these dumb plants.
I hate you.
You're lucky I let you keep them.
I hate you. I wish you were dead.
What did you say?
I said I hate you. I wish you were dead.
Our mystery drama, "All Living Things Must Die," was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Mercedes McCambridge. It is sponsored in part by New Sugar-Free Diet 7-Up and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you drink beer, do you tilt the glass for long, hearty swallows? Or just tip it and sip it? Well, sipping's the thing for wine. But Budweiser beer is a hearty drink, brewed for zest and character. The best way to enjoy Bud is to drink it. Not chug a lug, just man-sized beer drinker swallows. That's when that famous Budweiser taste,
smoothness and drinkability really come through. Smoothness and drinkability that come only from natural carbonation and exclusive beechwood aging. Smoothness and drinkability, too good for any half-hearted sipping. So drink up. You'll see that brewing beer right does make a difference, and that when you say Budweiser, you said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
The Marine Corps Reserves are looking for a few good men to help keep the peace. We're looking for men who understand that nobody likes to fight, but somebody has to know how. We want men who want to see their children grow up in an age of peace. Men who will do more than wish for it. Men who will work for it. Men who don't need the draft to know there's a job to be done. Men who ask themselves what they can do for their country and do it. We're looking for a few good men to stand with the Marine Corps Reserve. No shortcuts, no compromises, no promises except one. You'll be a Marine, and you'll be ready. That's the job of a peacekeeper.
Begins our story of the lightly demented Barbara, a lovely lady of 31 or 2, even 4 or 5. But as we now discover her in the living room of her suburban home, she could be younger than springtime. She could be spring itself.
I love you. I love you all. You are my darlings. My pets, my very own treasures. Oh, how beautiful you are. And how much I love you. Why? Well, that can't be Frank. He never forgets his key. Oh. Oh, it's...
Johnson, ma'am. Detective Sergeant Johnson from the other day.
Oh, yes. Come in. I didn't realize you'd be back.
Well, I was just checking up. Had any more of those obscene phone calls?
No, not one. And it's such a relief, you can't imagine.
Mm-hmm. You had your number changed.
Yes, yes, and that seems to have done the trick, all right.
Oh, good, good. Now, a lady like you shouldn't be bothered by things like that.
Well, there's one other thing I hate to mention.
No, go ahead, mention anything you want to. We're here to serve.
Well, it could be my imagination, but every once in a while, I see a man sort of hanging around across the street, not doing anything in particular, but just hanging around.
Any special time of day?
Yes, usually about this time. I see him through this window when I'm putting my plants to bed.
Oh, you tuck them in, do you?
Well, sort of. I talk to them, and sometimes I sing them a lullaby. I know that sounds silly, but, well, that's what I do. And then sometimes through the window, I think I see this man.
It's kind of hard to see out this window, ma'am. The plants sort of get in the way.
Yes, I know they do, but they like it here. I tried other places, but they weren't happy, so...
They were happy here, huh?
Well, they haven't complained. Although I'm not sure about Annabelle. This one is Annabelle. That's Arthur. And that's Kenneth.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Marianne. And that spider plant over there is Michael.
Oh, Michael's in great shape, isn't he?
Oh, yes, he is. He's... Are you laughing at me? Please don't.
Do I look like I'm laughing?
My husband laughs at me sometimes.
I wouldn't know why.
Oh, because... Now, you see this one, Marianne?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you take a close look because you won't see a Marianne every day in the week.
Well, Marianne is, she looks like ivy to me.
Yes, but her leaves are heart-shaped. Can't you see each one is shaped like a perfect little heart.
You know, you're right.
There are more than 200 varieties of ivy. Did you know that?
No, I never did.
Hey, what's going on here?
Oh, Frank. That's my husband. Frank, this is Detective Sergeant Johnson.
Ed Johnson.
How are you?
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Murray.
He came to check up on those phone calls.
Oh, yeah, from the degenerates. I told Barbara she should answer him back in his own language.
Oh, Frank, please.
Let him have it. Give it to him right between the eyes. The ears, I should say, in this instance.
Well, I'll be getting along.
Well, I'll show you to the door.
Say, listen, why can't you catch those freaks? Oh,
thank you for coming around, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, sure. I'll stop by again if it's all right with you.
Oh, anytime, practically. I'm almost always here.
And take good care of Annabelle.
Oh, I will.
And don't let Michael grow too fast.
I'll do my best.
Good night, Mrs. Murray.
Good night, Sergeant Johnson. And thank you.
Now, don't you mention it.
What was all that about?
Well, I told you. The phone calls.
I mean, all that whispering, all that bzzz at the door just now.
Oh, we weren't whispering.
Well, what were you talking about that I wasn't supposed to hear?
Nothing. He just said, I don't know, something about the plants, that's all.
What does he know about plants?
Well, nothing much. When he was here the first time, and just now before you came in, I told him about them. He knows that I talk to them and that they have names. He was just being friendly, Frank.
That's being friendly? Dropping in all the time when I'm not here?
Only twice. This was only the second time.
He's a kook like you. Freaked out over a bunch of plants.
He was only expressing an interest.
What's interesting about a bunch of plants with no flowers? Look at them. They take up the whole window. You got them strung all over the place, up to the ceiling, hanging down.
They're vines, Frank. There's silver lace and philodendron and ivy.
Oh, whatever they are, they're dumb. Plain dumb. I wouldn't object to a nice pot of tulips, something like that, sitting on a table. Like a nice spot of color or a hyacinth. They smell good. But these things.
Don't hurt them. Don't.
I got no use for them at all. Get rid of them. Why don't you?
No, never. You can't make me.
Oh, boy, you sure cry easy. What did I say was so terrible?
You said get rid of them.
Well, all right. Forget I mentioned it. What's for dinner?
It's Swiss steak.
Again?
Well, it's been a whole week.
Well, get it on the table, because I got to get out of here early.
You mean you're going out?
I got a date to go bowling.
Tonight?
Well, certainly tonight. What do you think, next year?
But you were out last night, and the night before.
And I may go out tomorrow night, and the night after that, so what?
Frank, I get so lonely.
Well, read a book. Watch TV, listen to radio.
But almost every night and all day.
Well, all right, talk to your plants. That's what you got him for, is it? Have a nice little conversation with Michael and Mary Louise and Archibald, whatever you call him.
Never mind. Just never mind.
Well, look, I'm going to take a quick shower and then we'll eat. 10 minutes on the outside, okay?
Okay. Oh, Arthur. Annabelle. Tell me that you love me. Marianne, do you love me? Michael. Kenneth. Oh, somebody love me. Please. Somebody love me or I'll die.
That Swiss steak wasn't bad at all.
Thank you.
Got any dessert?
Just fruit.
I'll take an apple with me.
Frank, don't go for a minute.
Well, I told you I got a date.
No, I want to talk to you about something.
I'll go ahead, but keep it short, will you?
Oh, Frank, remember when we got married?
Well, how could I forget with you to remind me?
Well, you said then that you didn't want to have any children right away.
I don't believe in rushing into things like that.
Frank, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
But isn't it different now?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, I think I'm too old for kids.
Oh, you're only 45.
And by the time my kid grew up, I'd be an old man.
No, not really old.
Well, aren't you kind of old to be having a kid for the first time?
Frank, lots of women have children at my age. Lots of them.
I don't know if it's safe.
Yes, it is. It happens all the time, and I'm very healthy. I'm very strong.
You don't look too strong.
Well, I am, because the doctor said so.
When did you go to see a doctor?
Last week.
I don't like you doing that without asking me first.
Well, I wanted to be sure before I talked to you. And the doctor says it'll be perfectly all right for me to have a baby. As a matter of fact, he said it'd be the best thing in the world for me.
Well, I can't see it.
On account of the loneliness, Frank, I don't think you realize how lonely I get. That's why I talk to the plants and sing to them. Because I haven't got anybody else.
Well, make some friends, why don't you?
That's not easy for me.
Why not? I do it all the time.
Anyway, it's not the same as having somebody right here in the house with me all the time. It's not the same intimate kind of thing. If I had a baby, oh, Frank, I wouldn't ask for anything else ever. And I'd give that baby so much love and attention. It would grow up to be the most marvelous person because it would know from the very beginning that it was loved and wanted. Oh, so much wanted.
Well, I don't want it. You got that? A kid is the last thing in the world I want.
Please.
No. I live in this house too, you know. I don't want a kid running around, messing up everything, making a lot of noise, getting in the way all the time.
No, it wouldn't be like that.
Oh, yes, it would. No. No, I won't have a kid messing up my life, and that's final, so forget it, huh? You hear me? Forget it. Put it out of your mind. Okay. Well, I gotta get going. Guys are waiting for me at the boat here.
Frank.
All right, now what?
No, I won't keep you a minute.
I haven't got a minute.
Please, less than a minute.
Well, okay, spill it.
When I was at the supermarket this morning, there was this dog.
A dog? Oh, boy.
Really, a very pretty dog and so sweet. And he was just wandering around. Nobody knew who he belonged to or if he belonged to anybody. He's just a stray as far as anybody knows.
No dog.
And he has this cute little tail that curls up right over his back and great ears that stand up straight and then flop over. And he's mostly black with a kind of white face.
Barbara, we've been through all this. I will not have a dog in my house. Now, that is how it is, and I don't want to talk about it now or never. You understand that?
Yes.
I gotta go.
Frank?
I said I gotta go.
Just one more thing. There's this man hanging around outside.
What man? Hanging around where?
I was telling Detective Johnson about it. This man sort of hangs around across the street. And I thought, if he's a prowler or a dangerous kind of person, well, a dog would be protection for me, see, when I'm alone.
What makes you think this guy is dangerous?
I don't know that he is, but every night now when I'm watering the plants just before you come home, I can see him through the window just sort of standing there. And looking around.
This window?
Yes. He looks kind of shifty, Frank. And if I had a dog, I'd feel safe.
I can't see it.
He's right across the street.
I can't see on account of these dumb plants.
Don't hurt them.
Why do you have to grow them so damn long?
Just part them very carefully. Here, let me...
Oh, no, I can do it. I can do it.
There. Can you see that man?
I see him. Barbara, you're a nut, you know that?
Why am I?
That's the guard they hired at the high-rise. They pay him to watch the building. Of course he's here every night. That's what he's paid for.
I didn't know that.
Are you trying to con me into letting you have a dog for protection? Well, it won't work, Barbara. The answer's still the same. No dog, no baby. Just be happy with these dumb plants. They're bad enough. Staying at the whole bloody window, spilling all over the place.
I hate you.
Yeah, look, I'll let you keep him.
I hate you. I wish you were dead.
What did you say?
I said I hate you. I wish you were dead.
Did you really say... Hey. Hey, what? Hey, what's this? The bloody plants are on my neck. Hey, Barbara, they're all around me. They're choking me. I can't get them off. Hey, Barbara. Barbara, they're too strong.
I know.
Fuck. Barbara, don't stand there. Get him off.
No.
Get the scissors. Barbara, the scissors.
I hate you. I hate you. I want you dead.
Rejoice not over thy greatest enemy being dead, but remember that we die all. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 37. We'll return shortly for the second act of All Living Things Must Die.
Hello, Ms. Goldilocks here, and welcome to my professional taste-testing laboratory. Oh, Papa Bear, could you bring that case of sugar-free Diet 7-Up over here?
Another case? Ms. Goldilocks, you're drinking this sugar-free Diet 7-Up like there's no tomorrow. You can't still be taste-testing it.
Oh, no, Papa Bear. Sugar-free Diet 7-Up has already earned my seal of approval. It's fresh, light, natural. Delicious. I drink it because I love its taste. Now hurry up.
Okay, here.
Mm-hmm. This sugar-free Diet 7-Up really tastes delicious. Ladies, if you're tired of switching from one diet drink to another, take some advice from Ms. Goldilocks. Try sugar-free Diet 7-Up and you'll say, yes, this one's just right.
I'll bear witness to that, Goldie.
Sometimes a gentle rain in one place adds up to a raging torrent in another. A torrent that can uproot lives as well as trees. To remedy the things that can be remedied in a disaster, America has a unique emergency force, the American Red Cross, America's good neighbor. Red Cross is on call 24 hours a day, every day, to cope with emergencies, whether they're on the next block or a continent away. Most of the help that's given is from volunteers. The money's from volunteers, too. Volunteers like you. If you need help, join us. If you can give help, join us. The American Red Cross. Help us help people. Just like you.
Now for the second act of All Living Things Must Die. It is a year later, and our heroine no longer lives in a little suburban house. Nor is her name Barbara Murray. She lives in a cheery little two-room apartment, and she is married to Detective Sergeant Ed Johnson. But Kenneth and Arthur and Mary Ann and Michael and Annabelle, all the plants are grouped together in the largest window, and all appear to be in the best of health.
Baby boats, a silver moon, sailing on the sea. He's home. Ed?
Hello, sweetheart.
Hello, darling.
Hey, watch out.
What have you got there?
Oh, just a little addition to the family.
What? What is it?
Well, let me get the paper off, will you?
Okay.
Here. How's that, huh?
Ed. Oh, it's beautiful.
You know what it's called?
Yes, do you?
Sure, purple passion plant.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I thought it was very appropriate for two people who've been married a month.
Oh, it is. It is, Ed. It's beautiful. And you were so sweet to think of it.
Well, there's something else I've been thinking of.
What's that?
Honey, is it too soon for us to be thinking about having a baby?
A baby?
Well, you do want us to have a baby, don't you, Barbara?
Well, I guess so.
I brought the subject up too soon. I can see that. Dumb me. I'm sorry.
No, that's right.
No. I was stupid. Forget I mentioned it, huh? Only, it doesn't do any harm to think about it a little, does it?
No. I guess it doesn't do any harm to think about it. Cleopatra. You're growing very nicely, dear. What take a little while before you'll be as long as Annabelle. And you'll probably never be as long as Michael. But then very few plants are. But you're so healthy and strong. And I love your purple leaves. You're very beautiful, my darling. Yes, you are. Oh, he's home.
Darling? Darling, you're home.
Yep, I'm home. Hey, look what I brought with me.
Why? Oh, no, it's a dog.
Uh-huh.
Oh, isn't he darling?
Yeah. He wandered into the station house about a week ago. We've been feeding him, and he's been sleeping
there. Look, his tail curls up over his back.
Yeah, he's got a great disposition.
Oh, my. Doesn't he belong to anybody?
Well, we advertised in the paper 3 days running. Nobody answered the ad.
You mean he's got no home? Nobody wants him?
Well, not unless you do.
You mean I can have him? He can live here with us.
Well, would you like
that? Oh, yes.
Dog, I guess you got a home.
Oh, I love him.
Dog, you got yourself a mother.
Look at him. Look how he's looking at you.
Yeah, come here, dog.
Oh, he loves you. You can see it in his eyes. He just loves you.
Well, I'm his father, aren't I? Hey, dog, do you love your father?
Of course he loves you. How could he help but love you? How could anybody help but love you?
Well, there's only one person has to love me. That's you. But you have to, baby. It's absolutely necessary. It's essential that you love me, because if you don't, it's the end of me.
Oh, Ed, I love you so much, I can't even talk about it. Just believe me. I love you, and I love you, and I love you. When you're here and when you're not here, and when you're asleep and when you're awake, and when you talk and when you don't talk, and when you look at me and when you don't, I love you all the time.
Oh, that's a lot of love.
I've got more.
More?
Anytime you need it.
Barbara. Honey. Look, we've been married better than half a year now. When are we going to start having a baby?
Oh, I don't know.
Pretty soon.
I guess.
You want one, don't you, honey?
Yes.
Well, when do we?
Well, sometime.
Well, sweetheart, we're not kids anymore.
I know that.
You think I'm putting the pressure on you? No, I shouldn't do that. I didn't mean to.
No, that's all right.
No, I won't do that anymore. You just got to tell me when you think is the right time. I won't bother about it anymore.
Oh, Ed,
now, what are we going to name the dog?
I don't know.
How about Cuthbert or Lance?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Herman? Dwight?
No, I don't want to give him any name like that. I want to call him what you called him.
Me? I never called him
Yes,
anything.
You did. You called him Dog. That's what I want to call him.
D-A-W-G? Dog?
Yes, come here, Dog.
Hey.
Oh, what a lovely dog you are, Dog. Hi, darling.
Hello, love. How do you feel?
I feel marvelous.
Well, you look marvelous. How's the family?
Well, I've been giving Annabelle a little too much water, but everybody else is fine.
Oh, I brought you a present. A first anniversary present.
Well, I have one for you, too.
Here. It's an engagement ring. You never had one.
Oh, Ed, this is lovely.
Do you like it?
Oh, yes, I love it. Almost as much as I love you and Dog. And Annabelle and Kenneth.
Hey, watch it.
And I got you a ring, too.
What?
Yes, a wedding ring, because you never have one.
Oh, hey. Yeah. That's nice. That's real nice. Is it okay for a man to wear this?
Well, it just shows everybody that you're married.
Well, everybody knows I'm married.
Does everybody really know you're married?
Well, I talk about it all the time.
Do you really? Do you talk about it?
Well, I'm married to you, so naturally it's you I talk about.
I bet you bore everybody to tears.
Yeah, I bet I do. Of course, they're always... Comes a time when they break in and say, any kids? You got any kids?
Yes, I suppose they do say that.
And, of course, I say no, and they say, well, why not? And I don't know what to say.
Ed, I'm so sorry.
Honey, why not? You have to tell me.
Well, it's a feeling that I have.
Well, don't you want to, baby? I always thought you were the kind of woman who'd want a family.
It's hard to explain.
Well, you've got to try.
Okay, I'll try. Only, Ed, I don't think you're going to like what I'm going to tell you.
Anything. I want to hear anything you have to tell me.
Well, I have to go back to the night that Frank died.
Frank?
Yeah.
What's Frank got to do with
it? I'm going to tell you if you listen.
Yeah, I'm listening. Go ahead.
Well, You remember when I called you that night and I told you that Frank was dead? You remember that?
Yeah, sure, of course I remember.
And you came over with the others and you asked me how it happened.
Yeah.
And I said I didn't know. I said that Frank was going to go out bowling and he must have been in a hurry. And the room was dark. And he must have stumbled into the plants and got tangled up in them and he couldn't get out.
Yeah, but he was strangled by the plants, baby. It was a freak accident.
No, that isn't what happened. At all.
Honey, are you trying to tell me... I don't know, are you trying to tell me that you pushed him or something? That you wrapped the plants around his neck?
I didn't.
All right, now, wait a minute. Maybe you better tell it to me from the beginning.
Well, you remember Frank came home that day while you were still here.
Uh-huh.
And then you left. And he told me to hurry up with dinner because he was going out. And I got upset. I told him I get so lonely here. Lonely every night. Almost every day.
Read a book. Watch TV. Listen to the radio. Talk to your plants. That's what you got them for, isn't it?
So after dinner, I said I wanted to talk to him about having a baby.
A kid is the last thing in the world I want.
And I think maybe it was then that I got the idea.
What idea?
It just seemed awfully important to me to get Frank over by the window where the plants were hanging. So I told him that there'd been a man hanging around outside across the street.
What man? Hanging around where?
And he started walking toward the window. And I started feeling this awful, wild excitement. The nearer he got to the window, the nearer he got to the plants. And then I said it.
Said what, honey?
I hate you. I said, I hate you. At first, Frank didn't hear me. Or maybe he didn't believe his ears, but I said it again. I hate you. And then I said, I wish you were dead. He heard me say that.
Then what happened?
He started to look angry. And he made a little move toward me. And it was then, when he started to move, that the plants moved. They moved. Faster than anyone would think plants could move. And they wound themselves around his neck. Around and around and tighter and tighter. And Frank began to choke.
Barbara, they're all around my neck. They're choking me.
Oh, no.
I can't get them off. Don't stand there. Get them off. Get the scissors.
No.
Barbara, the scissors.
Because there were scissors there, you know, on the windowsill. And Frank couldn't reach them. Because the plants were holding him so tight, and tighter all the time. And I knew the scissors were there. I kept them there all the time, just the way I do now, to cut off the dead leaves and things. But I didn't move. I just stood there, repeating those awful words, I hate you, I hate you, I wish you were dead.
Barbara! Barbara!
I watched his face turn purple. And then blue. And then he dropped to the floor. And I watched him drop. And I looked at him. But all I said was... dead.
Oh, darling.
I listened to the plants for a while. They seemed to be telling me, see how we love you. See, we'll do anything you ask. We are your true loves. We've killed for you. Now you know how much we love you. And then I went to the phone and called you.
Darling, you had a bad dream, that's all.
No. No, it wasn't a dream. I made the plants do what they did, don't you see? I said I wanted Frank dead, and they hurt me. Or they felt what I was feeling, or they sensed it or something. And because they love me, and because they know that I'd never kill anybody,
oh, of course
they went ahead and did it for me.
Sweetheart, even if what you say is true, if it could be
it
true,
is
you
true.
Never laid a finger on
it. But I'm an accessory, don't you see? I wanted someone to kill Frank. Not me, but someone. And the plants knew it, and they killed him for me.
Do you think anybody's going to believe you, sweetheart?
Ed, do you believe me?
Honey, is this why you don't want to have a baby?
Well, I want to, but...
But what?
That's how it all started. Me asking Frank if I could have a baby.
Why don't you try asking me? You know what kind of an answer you'll get, don't you? Go ahead. Ask me.
Ed? Is it all right? Is it? Hello. Oh, this is Mrs. Ed Johnson. Yes. Well, I saw the doctor a couple of days ago, and he was going to have a test made to see if I... Oh, you can't tell me. It is? Really? Really? Oh, yes, I believe you. Thank you very much. It's true. It's really true, dog. Michael, Marianne, I'm going to have a baby. Annabelle, it's true. Kenneth, Cleopatra, Arthur, finally, I'm going to have a baby. What do you think about that? Are you pleased? Are you happy? Tell me what you think, because you're very important to me. Yes, you're my best friend. I'm not young anymore. And there are people who think I'm, well, strange. I'm too emotional, that's what they think. And they may be right. How do I know? So please, tell me, because I trust you. Is it all right for me to have a baby? You really think so? Ed! Ed, it's true! I just called the doctor's office and they told me it's true. I'm going to have a baby, Ed. Tell me. Tell me. Is it really all right?
Is it really all right to bring a baby into a house where the plants in the window listen and talk among themselves? Where they feel love and gratitude? But also they feel fear and anger and revenge? Where they stir themselves at last and move in to kill? We'll be back shortly with Act Three.
I'd like to clear up a little misconception. And to do it, I'm going to take you through a Buick dealership. See, a lot of people are considering the purchase of a small car, but they might not consider coming to a Buick dealer to get it. That's a mistake. Because right here are all kinds of small cars, imported and domestic, with 4, 6, and 8-cylinder engines, with 2, 3, or 4 doors. Here's our biggest small car, the mid-size Century. It's pretty luxurious in there, but the size makes it practical, too. This one's our next smallest, Buick Apollo. Under this hood, there's a 6. Pretty handy these days. Yet because Apollo is a Buick, it has qualities you don't often find in cars this size. And this little rascal is Opel, 4 cylinders, and the best-selling car in Germany. You'll know why when you drive it. Well, there you have it. An impressive small car variety under one roof. At your Buick Opel dealer.
And what's the blood pressure machine in 16 letters?
Easy.
Well, so, what is it?
Sphygmomanometer.
Oh, you're kidding.
Sphygmomanometer.
E-T-E-R. Hey, that's right. Hey, it fits. Now, tell me what it is.
Well, it's a cuff with a dial on it. I say it's a machine that the doctor uses to measure your blood pressure.
Yeah? Well, why does he want to do that?
Well, your blood pressure goes up and down, see? But if it goes up and stays up, you've got hypertension.
Well, that's bad.
Well, it can be. Hypertension can set you up for a heart attack or a stroke. But if your doctor knows you've got hypertension, the two of you can control it.
Hey, you know all about it.
Oh, while you're working crossword puzzles, I'm reading this booklet. I picked it up yesterday at the Heart Association.
Hey, smart, smart. So what's a hollow muscular organ in 5 letters?
Heart, baby, heart.
We're still in the little two-room apartment, and the plants still hang in the window, but everything else is different. The rugs have been taken up. The pictures have been taken down from the walls, and the furniture has been moved out. And Barbara, Barbara herself has changed. No longer the reed slim young lady, she is now a solid matron with a most conspicuous bulge in the center of her body. For it is precisely 8 months since we last heard her voice.
There! They're gone. Ed, they're gone.
What's that, honey?
The movers have gone. They took the last chair out just now.
Oh,
I hope they don't break anything.
Oh, sweetie, they won't. Don't worry about it.
Oh, I don't worry about anything anymore.
Do you mean that?
Sometimes I try to worry, because after all, I used to worry all the time. I mean, I worried all my life, but now I can't worry. I've forgotten how. It's being pregnant.
Well, maybe I ought to try it.
Oh, I'm so sorry for you, you know that.
How come?
Being a man. You can't ever be happy the way I'm happy.
I've got my own way.
I feel so complete, so...
so fulfilled.
I guess so. As though there'd been something missing from the day I was born. And now I've got it. I was so unfinished before, but now... I'm complete.
Just wait till we get settled in the new apartment, baby. Wait till we get the little baby's room decorated and the crib moved in and all that other stuff.
Shouldn't we go over there now?
Well, I suppose we ought to give the movers time to get there.
No, I want to go now. I can't wait.
Yeah, neither can I. Oh, honey.
Isn't it wonderful how we always seem to feel the same way?
Oh, honey, you never have that other feeling anymore, do you?
What feeling?
You know about... how Frank died, the plants.
Oh, that.
You don't ever feel that maybe you shouldn't have a baby.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, when you first found out, you weren't too sure.
Oh, but that was 8 months ago. That was before I started feeling the baby grow. Before I knew that it was going to be my baby, my child. And then I knew that if there ever was anything that was right, having this baby was that thing.
And Frank... you ever think about him, about that night?
I'm not sure it ever happened. I mean, I'm not sure it happened the way I said. I think probably you were right. I dreamed the whole thing.
It was an accident, Barbara. Frank and the plants, it was a freak accident.
I guess so. Now, come on, let's go over to the new apartment. Movers ought to be almost there.
Yeah, okay. I'll take the plants down.
Oh, no. I want to do that.
No, honey, no. I don't want you doing things like that. Not now. 8 months. Holy cow.
Oh, don't be silly. I know just how they're tied up because I did it myself in the first place. Come on, hand me the scissors. They're right there.
Baby.
Cut the string.
I think I ought to.
No, really. They wouldn't like anybody else touching them. I know what you can do. You can get those cartons we saved to pack them in and all that tissue paper. Go on, you do that. That'd be a big help.
Okay, if you say so. Oh, here's the scissors.
Right. Only take a minute.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
Now then, here we go. Oh, Cleopatra, let's get you down first. No, Michael, you'll have to wait until last because you're so long and strong. It'll be hard to separate you from the others. Oh, gee, it's hard to reach. I don't know if I can... oh, maybe I should have let Ed take you down. My arms hurt. Isn't that funny? I never had any trouble before.
Well, of course, it's being pregnant. It's this baby I'm carrying around with me.
Are you a boy? Or are you a girl? Or are you twins?
I think you're twins. Wouldn't that be heavenly? An old lady like me having twins...
a boy and a girl? Oh, I don't care. I don't care about anything anymore. Except my husband and my child.
I don't even care about the plants. Isn't that strange? For so long, so many years, they were my dearest friends. They were my only friends.
And now, they just don't matter anymore.
I know what I'm going to do.
I'm going to leave them right here. You don't need them.
We've got a new place to live. We're going to have a baby.
We have each other. We don't need these old plants anymore. They can just stay right here. Ed! Ed! I just decided that we don't... ooh. No, don't! Get away! Get away from me! Ed! Ed, it's the plant! They're choking me. Ed, the plant.
Yeah, I got the cart. Barbara, God.
You're choking me. All right. The scissors. Quick. I can't breathe.
All right, I've got them. It's all right. It's going to be all right, Barbara. It's all right. Barbara, it's going to be all right. The doctor say?
He says I'm all right. I can go home.
Did you tell him?
How could I tell him? I made up something. I said I got tangled up in the clothesline. That was the first thing that came into my head. Anyhow, he didn't ask me many questions because he could see that I wasn't really hurt. I was just scared.
Well, you sure had me scared.
Well, they didn't hurt me much, really. The plants.
Well, why should they hurt you at all? You love those plants.
Ed. While I was taking them down, it was harder than I thought it would be, and my arms got tired.
Well, I told you to let me do it.
And I stopped for a minute, and then I thought, why am I bothering with these plants? Taking them down and carting them to the new place and then putting them up all over again. So I thought, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to leave them. I'm happy. I've got everything I want. I don't need them. I even think I said that out loud, and they heard me.
Now, Barbara.
But it wouldn't have made any difference. They didn't have to hear me say it out loud. Because they knew what I was thinking.
Honey.
No, you see, you can't live that close to somebody for so long and so close without knowing what she's thinking. And they knew that I was going to go off and leave them. After all our years together, I was going to abandon them. I didn't care anymore what happened to them. And they knew that.
Oh, no, it's just hard to conceive of plans.
They wouldn't have killed me yet. They didn't even really mean to hurt me. They were just saying, don't go. Or if you must go, take us with you. You can see that, can't you?
All I know is I came into the room and I saw you with the vines around your throat and you were saying, choking me, get the scissors. Well, I got those scissors so fast. They were right there on the windowsill and I cut those vines so fast. Boy, you had me worried, baby.
Oh, I must have fainted by then.
Yeah, and I picked you up and put you in the car, and you came too before we got to the hospital.
And here I am, and I'm all right.
Yeah, yeah. Barbara, you don't suppose I hurt the plants, do you? I just slashed away.
Well, I don't suppose you cut them down very carefully.
Oh, heck no.
Oh, they'll be all right. I'll trim them properly when we get back.
You're not going to leave them there? You're going to take them to the new apartment?
Yes. Yes, I am. I don't know what I was thinking of. How could I just go off and leave the things that I've loved and that have loved me? I can't walk out on them. I forgot that. And they were trying to remind me.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. But then you always are.
Well, I'm right about this.
Yeah. Well, let's go, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, poor Cleopatra.
Why, poor Cleopatra?
Well, I knocked her on the floor.
You what?
Yeah, when I was trying to cut you loose, I knocked Cleopatra on the floor, broke the pot and everything.
You mean she's lying there? The pot is broken and she's lying there on the floor with no dirt?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, Ed, come on.
Now, Barbara.
No, hurry up. We've got to get there before she dies.
Honey, please, let me do it.
There she is. There's Cleopatra.
Let me do it, honey. You just stay there. Let me
pick her up. Look out, Ed. They're angry. Ed, they're coming for you.
No, it's all right.
Ed, please get out of the way. Stand back. Let me do it.
You think they're going to let you do it?
Of course they are. Of course they are. Aren't you, my darling? Aren't you? Ed, hand me that earthen pot, the one right there. No. Your roots haven't been out of the earth for very long, my love. Now, gently. Gently. No, I'm not hurting her. See, Michael? I'm being very gentle. I'm putting the good earth in the pot. See, Michael? Ed, get me some water, just a little.
Honey, I don't like leaving you
here.
Don't
be silly. I'll be perfectly all right.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Now, you see, Michael? I'm scooping up every last bit of the nice brown earth. And I'm sifting it through my fingers. See? See, Annabelle, see, all of you are very carefully with the beautiful, loose, brown earth.
Here you are.
Now, we put a little water in. Not very much, because the earth wasn't very dry. There's some plant food on the windowsill.
Yes, I got it. Here we are.
No, we mixed just a little of it into the soil. There we are, like that. And now, Cleopatra, my love, let me pick you up. I'll hold you for a second. And don't be frightened, my dear. No. You put your little roots into the dirt. Very gently, very carefully. You press the dirt down around them. And then we add the rest of the dirt almost to the top. And we press it down. Not too high, just enough to make you feel safe. Secure. There we are. You see, Michael, Mariette, Annabelle, see? She's going to be all right.
You think she really will be?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, I'm going to set her here on the windowsill. Let the sun pour all over her.
Well, shouldn't you start taking down the other plants?
No, not yet. They've had an awful shock.
Yeah, but honey, the furniture movers at the other apartment, they must be going crazy wondering where we are.
Well, you go. You take the car and go over there.
What about you?
Come back for me later.
Okay. Like, in an hour?
Well, make it a couple of hours.
Okay, baby.
Baby boats of silver moon sailing on the sea. Yes, my dear ones, rest. Rest, my darling. Sail, baby, sail out across the sea. Only don't forget to sail home again to me. Only don't forget to sail home again to me.
The next time you pass by a plant, stop and look. Make a little bow or tip your hat. And if its leaves flutter and make a sound, listen. It may be trying to tell you something. I'll be back shortly.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
For heaven's sake, this store won't give me back my $25 for the ice skates. All they would give me is this credit slip, and they don't even have any more skates in my size. Oh, what am I going to do?
Madam, not all stores make cash refunds on returns, you know.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. You know, only some stores will make refunds because it's their policy to do so, not because they're required to do so. And if I were you, I'd use the credit slip and get myself something else. And next time, remember, find out about a store's policy on refunds and exchanges before you buy.
I guess you're right.
Well, you know, it's just another tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Nor are we to use living things like old shoes and throw them away when they're worn out or broken with service. Those words were written by a Roman biographer named Plutarch. They are as true today as when he wrote them, almost 2,000 years ago. Our cast included Mercedes McCambridge, Larry Haynes, and Ralph Bell. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
Eminently desirable, two bedrooms and bath for the right couple. Fully furnished, sublet for at least 2 years. Please, not before 10 a.m. Sunday, H.S.M. Apollyon, 27 Southwest 62nd Street.
So?
So what?
That's right off Central Park. It'd cost a fortune.
I saved the best for the last. Rent, $200 a month. 1 month security.
Oh, there's got to be something wrong with it.
Why?
It's too cheap.
Well, does that mean we can't look at it?
No, we'll be there on the dot, fighting the line. What have we got to lose?
What indeed? And don't be afraid of a crowd. Yours is the only paper this ad will appear in, because it's you I want.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Dial 91 AM or 96 FM, Seattle.
CBS News. The new military junta in Cyprus is reported in near control of the island tonight and the curfew lifted. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. More on the story from Cyprus Radio as monitored in Tel Aviv and reported by Bruno Wassertile.
Nicosia Radio, held by the insurgent National Guard forces, has announced that the curfew on Cyprus has been lifted. There is no word yet whether the curfew, which went into effect on Monday when the coup d'etat began, will be reimposed. The National Guard and the rebel regime, headed by Nikos Samson, claim to have nearly complete control of the 3,500 square mile island. The pro-Makarios radio station at Paphos has been silent since Tuesday night when the deposed president left the island for Malta. British Armed Forces radio on Cyprus says fighting on the island has slackened off and the situation Tuesday night was relatively quiet. The British Army station said it was waiting for instructions regarding curfew regulations from the National Guard, indicating that the de facto rule of Cyprus has passed over to the insurgents. Bruno Wassertile for CBS News. In Tel Aviv.
Archbishop Makarios, who is in Malta, is expected to fly to London and then to the United Nations sometime soon. In New York on Tuesday, the UN Security Council met in emergency session on the Cypriot situation, but then it adjourned without taking any action on Makarios' request that the Security Council order a ceasefire on the island. The United States and Britain both asked for more time to review the facts surrounding the coup. More news after this.
Just when you think you've packed away your sinus miseries along with your winter coat, along comes summer sinus.
My face hurts. My head aches. How could it be my sinus? It's summer.
Even a change in the weather or air pollution can make your sinus flare up. So can pollen. Your allergy can trigger sinus.
When it happens, what can I take for it?
Take Sinoff tablets. They help relieve throbbing sinus pain and help drain clogged sinus cavities. The miseries of summer sinus.
Sinoff can do all that?
Right. Sinoff tablets give you a full dose of pure aspirin for pain, plus a decongestant to help drain clogged sinus cavities, plus an anti-allergy ingredient.
Sinoff tablets. The sinus medicine in the bright red box.
For summer sinus miseries, get Sinoff. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. Take only as directed.
Sinoff. I'll remember that.
Former Army Chief of Staff William Westmoreland lost by a wide margin Tuesday night in his bid for the Republican gubernatorial nomination in South Carolina. State Senator James Edwards was the victor, taking 60% of the vote. Westmoreland conceded defeat in a voice still marred by laryngitis.
I wish this were a victory celebration, but unfortunately it is not. On the other hand, I want to express my appreciation to the several hundred loyal supporters who are assembled in this room. Certainly you gave it your all. I gave it my best efforts. But I suppose this proves that I'm basically not a politician.
William Westmoreland, who lost Tuesday night in the Republican gubernatorial primary in South Carolina. The House Judiciary Committee continued its impeachment inquiry Tuesday by hearing from two former White House lawyers. Charles Colson, whom most committee members agreed, said nothing damaging to President Nixon's case, and Herbert Kalmbach, whom members say revealed no new information. Kalmbach reportedly was quizzed mostly about his involvement in raising and distributing money to the Watergate defendants. Kalmbach is scheduled to return for more questioning Wednesday. Committee Chairman Peter Rodino says that he hopes the committee will vote on the impeachment question next week. More after this.
This is Dear Abby on the CBS Radio Network.
And hello, world. I'm Dennis Brackett.
And I'm Mike Roy for Mike Roy's Cooking Thing.
And we're all here every Monday through Saturday to make your days a bit brighter. Abby, along with Harry Bartell, reads and answers your letters about personal problems, sticky situations, oh, just about anything you want to ask her about. And Mike and I are here with all dandy recipes, little chatter, a little patter, all in an effort to please your palate. Why don't you listen every Monday through Saturday for Dear Abby and Mike Roy's Cook Thing on the CBS Radio Net.
This is Paul Newman speaking. Are you ready for a pleasant shock? Did you know that cancer is one of the most curable of the major diseases? The proof? More than 1.5 million Americans alive today have had cancer and conquered it. Many more can and will be saved if we all help. If we all learn the life-saving facts about the disease and act on them. If we all give generously when American Cancer Society volunteers call. People who care about people.
The House has passed a bill providing a $2 billion emergency program of government guarantees for private loans to livestock producers. Individual loans would not be allowed to exceed $250,000. The bill provides only for loan guarantees and not for outright loans. The condition of Baseball Hall of Famer Dizzy Dean deteriorated Tuesday night. Dean is reported in critical condition at a hospital in Reno. A hospital spokesman says that Dean is now experiencing heart failure. Dean, who is 64 years old, was taken to the hospital on Sunday. He had complained of chest pains, and he suffered a severe heart attack on Monday. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, KIXI.